بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost, Alhamdulillah, He granted us the tawfiq to be here, mashallah, to sit in one of the gatherings of deen, the most precious of all gatherings in the entire dunya, where we are talking and speaking about Allah azza wa jal, remembering Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, I remember you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. We thank Allah Ta'ala for this blessing. The only way we'll truly appreciate it is when we meet Allah Azza wa Jal. See the value of dhikrullah. May Allah grant us that understanding here, and Allah grant us the full reward in the hereafter. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alamin. I do apologize. I'm not in the best of health. But I'll try my best, inshallah ta'ala, to speak about this very important topic. Because, mashallah, the discussion about elders being the pillar of the community is actually a very large conversation in deen. Because we have to understand that the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith which is authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ, which says, Al-barakatu ma'a kabirikum, that the barakah lies with your elders. The blessings, that which Allah Azza wa Jal descends on the community, it lies with your elders. And first and foremost, from the elders mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the elders being referred to here are the scholars and the ulama of deen. And this is what we have to understand and recognize for ourselves. Because those that connect you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are obviously the most blessed of all individuals. Those who connect you to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen of Islam, the deen of truth, they are in reality the greatest of all human beings. Because mashallah, they do the greatest of all things, that's why they're Mubarak. So having said that, this is something which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone, mashallah, had an idea and understanding that the pillars and the ones who will establish our communities are always the one, mashallah, that are the most close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu had the same understanding. The Sahaba amongst themselves, they knew which ones were the elders from amongst them, and they knew which ones were the youngsters, the juniors from amongst them. So the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, for example, when one person, you can imagine how great the Tabi'een were, you know, the people that were after the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, Hamad bin Abi Salama rahimahullah, or Hamad bin Salama rahimahullah ta'ala. He was someone that they said he only did four things his whole life. They said that we only saw him praying, doing zikr, reading Quran, or teaching deen. He said we never saw him doing anything other than these four. Basically, more or less, to pray salah, do zikr of Allah, to teach the deen, or mashallah, reading some Quran. That's all he was doing, mashallah. Can you imagine what kind of person he was, subhanAllah? You get Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullah ta'ala, from the leader of the tabi'in, the tabi'ut tabi'in. This person, when he passed away, his janazah was so large, it was not enough people, it was like over 100,000 people, mashallah. And they said that this was the person who used to keep people away from the wrong hadith of Rasulullah, the fabricated narrations. He memorized, they said at the end of his life, he memorized close to 1 million hadith, mashallah. These are the people, subhanAllah, of such high caliber. You know, Allahu Akbar. This one person, mashallah, at the time of Ibn Umar, one person said, Aina zahiduna fi dunya, ar-raghibuna fil akhirah. He said that, you know, this person kind of like made this like a little bit of a show, you know, giving a little bit of a talk. He's like, where are the ones who are, they did zuhud, they abandoned the dunya, they left the world. And raghibuna fil akhirah, where are the ones who desired the hereafter so much? So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, Beta, come on, let's go. And so then he took him to the grave of Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, Aha'ulai tas'alun, and an ha'ulai tas'alun, are you asking about these individuals here? Because obviously, mashallah, these were the ones most superior. Sahaba radiallahu anhu had this love and adoration for each other. They knew that which one was the closer one to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which one was the lesser one. Umar radiallahu anhu, even himself, when he started the Khilafah, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this, inshallah, And we'll talk about more like closer time to our time, of course. But you have to understand the qadr of the ulama. If we don't get there, really, we have not talked about the elders, really. The thing is that the Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to give stipends from the Muslim treasury. He used to give stipends and a certain amount of money to different types of sahaba. And he made sure, subhanAllah, that the ones he would say whenever he used to make basically the checkbook for the next year, he'd say, look at the sahaba, look at the ones who spent more time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because they spent more time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they deserve more. And so then they got more, mashallah, because of that barakah of being closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu was one of the early sahaba who accepted Islam. One of the closest. He used to write the whenever the Quranic ayat used to come down on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zayd radiallahu anhu was like the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Zayd radiallahu anhu, what he used to do when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an ayat come down, he would call Zayd to come over. Zayd would come down, write down the ayat of the Quran. This is how close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Zayd radiallahu anhu and Ibn Abbas is a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas is a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's so close, right? Abbas is, Imam Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cha-cha, right? His uncle, and his cousin is Ibn Abbas, right? This is amazing. Sayyid, right? This is a family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Ibn Abbas used to meet Zayd radiallahu anhu, he used to see him heading out to his camel. He used to pick up his bags and walk him over to the camel and help him up onto the camel. Zayd radiallahu anhu used to be so upset. He said, "Oh, Ibn Abbas, you're the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should not be doing this." He said, "Hakada, this is how we were taught to do with our scholars and our ulama. This is how we're supposed to respect them and adore them." So Zayd radiallahu said, "Give me your hand." And then Ibn Abbas gave his hand to Zayd, and then he kissed the hand of Ibn Abbas radiallahu. And he said, "This is how we're supposed to treat the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." They had such endearing, loving respect with one another, but they understood the qadr of those ones, mashallah, that accepted Islam earlier. And this is all from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Man lam yarham saghirana, wa lam ya'rif sharafa kabirina." Right, or haqqa kabirina. The hadith of the Prophet says, whoever does not love our youngsters or show mercy to our youngsters, tenderness to our youngsters, like this youngster in my just killing my seat right now. Or lam ya'rif sharafa kabirina, and does not know the nobility or the honor of our elders, falaysa minna. The Prophet said he's not from the Muslim Ummah. This is part of our tradition to have respect and honor for those who come before us. And so Sahaba radiallahu anhum, again, they're the greatest, mashallah, because of who they were, because of the closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Hamad bin Salama, rahimahullah ta'ala, I told you earlier, the man who only did four things his whole life. You're looking at Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. This man, mashallah, in the 2.5 years of his khilafah, was able to put such adl and justice when they sent down people to collect zakat in his time into the area of Africa. They sent people to collect zakat in the area of Africa. And he said, "We went around looking to collect zakat. We collected our zakat. Then we looked around for the poor people." He said, "We could not find any poor people at the time Umar bin Abdul Aziz. We just took the money back to the treasury because there's nothing to do this year." SubhanAllah. This is such a time they said that a wolf and a sheep could drink from the same pond and do not kill each other. SubhanAllah. You know? Allahu Akbar. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, this man, mashallah, would not be compared to a speck of dust on the foot of a Sahabi. Because the Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, because of how close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you have to understand that. Those people who connect you to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the greatest of all elders that you can ever have. So now these Sahaba radiallahu anhum leave behind students, mashallah, which are the tabi'een, which I gave you, mashallah, story after story. Sa'id bin Musayyib, rahimahullah ta'ala, the man, mashallah, he said, I was for 40 years, 30 or 40 years. He said, I was in the masjid before the adhan was called, and I would be there and perform every one of the five times daily prayers. And he said amongst by himself, subhanAllah, he said about the time when there was such a fitna in Medina, where there was no one coming to the masjid to pray in jama'ah. You can imagine how difficult it is at that time. Masjid Nabawi, mashallah, is full of musallis now, subhanAllah. Imagine one time there was no one there. Sa'id bin Musayyib said, I was there though. And I said, if no one's coming for jama'ah, I will still establish the jama'ah. I'll take care of it myself. So Sa'id bin Musayyib, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is the greatest of the scholars of the tabi'een, they say. Sayyidu tabi'een, Sayyidu Ahlul Medina. He was a leader of the scholars of Medina too. This man said, I used to go for the salah. And I said, whenever I used to stand up, I used to give the adhan. And whenever he said, whenever he used to stand up for the salah, he said, I would hear the iqama coming from the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah. This is because of their love and affinity to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sahaba come and the tabi'een come. That's why you get amazing books like Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. He writes an amazing kitab. The book is called Fadlu Ilm al-Salafi ala al-Khalaf. The virtue of the knowledge of the pious predecessors, the virtue of the knowledge of the pious people before us, over all the people who come afterwards. And he writes many reasons why. You know, when someone gives you interpretation of this time of tafsir, this man is coming 1400 years later giving tafsir. Like the other day, you know, we read a lot of feminist tafsir. Don't ask me why. I have to go through a lot of weird stuff sometimes. May Allah make it easy for me. Make dua. The thing is that, subhanAllah, a guy is coming 1400 years later giving you some riwayah, some narration. I said, bhai, that's nice. This is Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He was one of the greatest of the Sahaba, one of the closest family members to Rasulullah. I think his interpretation is better than yours. What do you think? Maybe, you know? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah, they said that he was one of the first of the 10 people who accepted Islam, mashallah. That, subhanAllah, of all the scholars of fiqh, they said Ibn Mas'ud was one of the best. Umar radiallahu anhu used to, he had to send Ibn Mas'ud out to the area of Iraq, Iran, in Kufa, right? And he said that, oh, people of Kufa, I'm giving you preference over myself. I would never leave Ibn Mas'ud. I love him that much. But because you guys need to learn deen, I'm giving you my best that I have, subhanAllah. You know, Allahu Akbar, he gives you tafsir. You listen to what he says, you know? That's why Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali says the virtue of their knowledge is something greater than us. Who's Abu Hanifa, rahimullah? Who's Malik? Who's Shafi'i? Who's Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimullah? Just because they were closer to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just because they knew the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than us, that's more right that you follow them more than anybody. This is the reality. They said, for example, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimullah. They said about Imam Shafi'i, rahimullah ta'ala, that Imam Shafi'i, in his book of the Kitab al-Umm, Ibn Khuzaymah is a great scholar of hadith. Ibn Khuzaymah said about the Kitab al-Umm, the Shafi'i's Kitab. Ibn Khuzaymah was a master of hadith. He wrote a book about the differences, and he used to tell people, if you don't understand any two hadith that don't seem to make sense together, bring them to me. I'll resolve it for you. Isn't that amazing? What scholar he was. He said, did Shafi'i miss any hadith about halal and haram in the Kitab al-Umm? He said, no, he did not miss any hadith in the Kitab al-Umm. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, was such a remarkable person. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said, when someone said, oh, Sheikh Imam Ahmad, we don't have a Quran ayah. We don't have a hadith on this topic. Imam Ahmad said, do we have the qawl of Shafi'i? Do we have Imam Shafi'i's opinion on this topic? He said, yes, we do. He said, if Shafi'i says it, that's more than enough for us. Because we know that he knows the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why, mashallah, a very interesting incident happened at the time of Imam Malik. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, they said he knew over 100,000 hadith. And mashallah, I'll give you numbers right now, and I'll explain it a little bit later. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, they said himself, he said in Tartib al-Madarik, it says that he knew about over 100,000 hadith. Wow. You know, people are like, oh, you know. SubhanAllah, there's even more to it. But mashallah, I tell you, Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, the most thing that was most beloved to him is that he lived in Medina. I tell you, subhanAllah, they mentioned Imam Malik, his love for Medina and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, was such an amazing individual. They said every night he used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. And he used to not even wear his sandals in Medina. Because he said, I don't want my foot to step on the foot of where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might have stepped. This type of man used to live in this world. Could you imagine this dunya was blessed with this individual? Malik, rahimahullah, at one time had a big argument with Imam Abu Yusuf, Hanafi. You know, Imam Abu Yusuf, rahmatullahi, Imam Abu Yusuf is the greatest student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Hanifa has legendary students. Imam Abu Yusuf was like the Supreme Court justice at this time. Abu Yusuf, rahmatullahi, one time came to debate Imam Malik about a certain size of a measurement that you're supposed to use. Okay? And so it was Muhammad. It was the mud. The mud is a certain measurement, like, you know, like you have like volume and stuff. You know, you measure things in like liters and stuff. They had something called the mud. You know what the mud is? The mud is the actual size of when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabs something with his Mubarak hands. That was a measurement in Sharia and still is a measurement. When you have to do this for Sadaqatul Fitr and stuff, you use this stuff, mashallah. Okay. So having said that, Imam Abu Yusuf Muhammad says, this is the dalil for, this is the size for him. And so he came to Imam Malik to debate him. So then Abu Yusuf al-Hamdani brings hadith after hadith after hadith. He's like, this hadith, and we narrate this hadith, and narrate this hadith, and you narrate hadith after hadith after hadith. It's a long, long narration. Imam Malik says, are you finished, son? Because he's younger than him. He said, yes, I'm done. The Sheikh, he said, I'm done, Sheikh. He said, okay, come with me. So they both get up from the gathering. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, goes and knocks on the door of some random house in Medina. When he goes to the house, the brother comes out. Imam Malik says, he says, oh, Imam, what is it? Do you need anything? He said, no, I don't need anything. I just want you to go and take out your mud scooper at home. They have a scoop that is that size, right? He said, go in there and go and check it. You know, just bring it out for us. And he said, he brought it out and he showed him the size. Imam Malik said, this is the size that we use in Medina. Okay? It's a different size than what Abu Yusuf was bringing. And then he said that Imam Malik said, whose handle is this? Oh, my beloved brother, you know, that came out. Like, who used to this belong to? He said, that was from my grandfather, the Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu. He said, that handle, that scoop belonged to my grandfather, the Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu. And so Imam Malik said, he said, Abu Yusuf said, how do you know it's his? He said, his name is in the handle. His name is in the handle. And then Malik said that, do you have any other hadith you want to show me? Is there anything else you want to, you know? Like but Imam Abu Yusuf legitimately changed his opinion. He said, look, if this is what report from Rasulullah says, then we take it. But what I'm trying to stress to you is that they lived in such a pure time that you could actively and definitively know for a fact this is the practice of Rasulullah. That's why Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, one of the greatest things about him, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he kana Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Ra'aytu Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu yusalli. He said, I saw Anas bin Malik, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah reports this authentically to Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa said, I saw Anas bin Malik, the Khadim of Rasulullah says in pray salah. So Anas bin Malik is the servant of Rasulullah. He said, I served Rasulullah for 10 years. Imam Abu Hanifa said, I saw him praying salah. Now I ask everyone, you saw a Sahabi of Rasulullah pray salah. Are you going to be like, that's nice, and just walk away? What are you going to do? You'll study, you'll watch, you'll observe. Where did he put his hands? Where did he put his hands when he went in for ruku? How did he do his sajda? Everything you'd watch with detail. Imam Hanifa said, I saw Anas radiallahu anhu pray. And now you know when you're learning your salah from this man, Abu Hanifa rahimullah, is going to give you something Rasulullah used to do. That's what we understand these imams to be. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, Mullah Ali Qari rahimullah, that says the conservative estimate of the hadith that he memorized was 600,000. You know, subhanAllah, you know, these chains are exceptionally short. Imam Hanifa has a golden chain to Rasulullah. And Imam Malik used to say, my most beloved chain is which one? From Nafi' to Ibn Umar to Rasulullah. Two people in the middle. It's like, mashallah, Zayan saying, I heard from Fahim, from say your name again. Faizan, Jazakallah. My head is flying on. From Zayan to Fahim to Faizan to Imam Shakil that he said something. Oh, Zayan has such a beloved chain, mashallah. Go see Imam Shakil, mashallah. What an amazing chain he has. He has two people in the middle, subhanAllah. Isn't he much better than the Muhammad who goes from like Ishaq to you know to like to Zayan to Fahim to Faizan? He got one extra guy. Who the heck wants to listen to him anymore? You know, the guy who has a shorter chain is clearly more beloved. Imam Malik rahimullah, you know, Bukhari takes like he loves his hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Everyone loves those hadith. He has 21 of them, which are three people narrators, like three people between him and Rasulullah. He cherishes and prides himself on those hadith. He's like the most beloved hadith in the book. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala has people that are he has two people between him and Rasulullah. On the regular in Muwatta Malik, you can take it out and see it for yourself. On the regular in that book, he narrates two people between him and Rasulullah. It says it from Nafi', my beloved teacher Nafi', to Ibn Umar to Rasulullah. Imam Hanifa is not anything less. What does he have? He says, I have mashallah from Alqama, from Ibn Abbas to Rasulullah. These people, mashallah, have such short chains to Rasulullah. So many hadiths that they memorized, and so much that they worked on. Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, they said he memorized close to 1 million hadiths himself as well. These are great scholars of deen, mashallah. And they go and they have their own students, and they have their own students, and they have their own students. Why do you love the alim of deen? Why do you love the scholar of deen? Because he has a chain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this man is giving you what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave you, and that is the most beloved thing in this world. That you know for a fact that this is what Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught you. And this is why we love the ulama. That's why you revere the ulama. That's why you respect the ulama. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one time saw in a gathering, there's two guys who came. One was an older brother, one was a younger brother. So then the younger guy, you know, he gets a little uppity, right? Every time, you know, big alim is there, everyone seems like they're the mufti sahab now. And they start answering before the big mufti sahab answers, right? It's very much, you know, we've seen it so many times. Some weird younger guy will always come. And it'd be not even a guy who studied anything. Everyone wants to open their mouth. When big Mufti Pampuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, top lion is there. Everyone's be opening their mouth. I don't know why anyone's opening their mouth. Big Mufti Sahib is there, right? But in any case, at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one elder person, one youngster came. They're both brothers. The youngster started to speak first. The Prophet said, Kabir al-Kubra. No. The older one has more right to speak first. You don't have any right to speak. We're very much, mashallah, we love to jump the gun. We love to give fatwa. Oh, we love fatwa. We love fatwa so much. We love fatwa. We love fatwa. We love fatwa shopping. We love it so much, mashallah. This is like bizarre for us, subhanAllah. We can get to buy the Calvin Klein and the Louis Vuitton fatwa and this fatwa and this fatwa. We love fatwa shopping, mashallah. It's so much enjoyable, mashallah. Man, subhanAllah, you know how much we enjoy it. Like, Allahu Akbar, we'll quote every single fatwa page that we found on Google and give it to Maulana stuff. Hey, Maulana, check out all the fatwas I've had, mashallah, as if he didn't read them, subhanAllah. Allah give us understanding, mashallah. If we don't know Arabic, we should not be quoting fatwas, quite honestly, right? This is a heavy thing. I sometimes get amazed. But then, person who don't know Arabic is telling me all this different stuff. I'm reading the Arabic right before you. You know, subhanAllah. Where do you think I'm getting all this stuff from? We read the Arabic text first, and then we came to you, mashallah. And we're all doing the translation in our heads, right? Subhanallah. It's a lot of work. If you don't know, mashallah, then you just remain silent. Because how could you know what Rasulullah said if it's just translated to you? Learn the Arabic first, and learn it diligently and with due diligence, inshallah. So these are our elders, mashallah, and these are our kabir. Even if the alim is younger than you should still have some respect. And we love anyone who has a chain to Rasulullah because of the fact that they have a connection to Rasulullah. And we'll make dua. I'm not saying, look, this man, mashallah, might be younger than you. You don't have to take everything the person says. But the thing is that because there's nothing that can ever replace experience, 100%. Nothing ever replaces experience. That's something completely different, mashallah. But this person still deserves some respect because he is one of our elders, because he connects us to Rasulullah. The barakah is coming down because of this man, mashallah. So having said that, subhanAllah, that is our prime time main elders, mashallah. Along with that, alhamdulillah, we have those people that are older than us, that are senior than us, that have some age over us, right? And the greatest of all those elders, mashallah, Imam Tahir said, for anyone who's older than you, anyone who's older than you, whoever it might be, Imam Tahir said that you must always think that they're better than you. You must always think that they're better than you. He said, mashallah, you must think that the elders are better than you, the youngsters are better than you. You must think that the general Muslim is better than you. I'm sorry, the non-Muslim is better than you. And you must think even the animal, the dog, is better than you. And this is why I want everyone, if you take a takeaway from this, not just amazing stories and the respect and love for ulama, which are important things, come back with humility. Because wallahi, everyone has an elder and everyone has a junior. Everyone in this world has someone who's older than them that deserves some respect. And everyone has a youngster that deserves some love. That's what it is. Okay? Imam Tahir, someone said, when he said, be humble, know that the elder is better than the youngster, the non-Muslim and the animal. They said, Mawlana, how could that be? He said, the elder is better than you because why? Because subhanAllah, this person has lived longer than you, has done more good deeds than you. Okay? And I'll add one extra thing about the elder, that mashallah, because they were born earlier than you, they were born closer to the time of Rasulullah than you. And that is enough for them, mashallah, to have some qadr. Okay? That's why, subhanAllah, we love the people that are closer. And we love those people that have that chain, like I mentioned before. So having said that, Mawlana Tahir said about this, he said that we love the one that you should know this person better than you, because number one, they have more good deeds, mashallah. They said, okay, how about the youngster? The youngster is very easy. He has less sins than you. So you should know that he's better than you. Okay, elder is because he has more good deeds. Youngster is less sins. Okay. But how about the non-Muslim? How could they ever be better than me? Mawlana said, perhaps Allah has written hidayah for him and he accepts Islam right now. Because of that, he has no sins whatsoever and all the good deeds remain, mashallah. He's better than you. So if he accepts Islam right now, he'll be better than you. He said, Mawlana, that's extraordinary. What about the animal? How could the animal be better than me? So the animal is better than you because why? Because if on the day of judgment you come and the animal comes, and then the animal on the day of judgment has no Jannah or Jahannam. But if you go to Jahannam, if you go to Jahannam, he says, may Allah protect. But if you go to Jahannam, you're worse than the animal. Because at least the animal doesn't have a Jannah or Jahannam to worry about, subhanAllah. Well, Tawmi remind us about this reality that whoever is older than us, senior than us, they deserve some love and respect. But I want to put the caveat and the connection and the point that every elder should remind themselves that when they have, alhamdulillah, with deen, mashallah, when they have the connection of deen, mashallah, it brings them on a level of respect and honor that, mashallah, that you can never compare to anything in the dunya. No matter what title and respect that you have, the fact that you're a namazi, that you are someone who's namazdar, you used to come for salah, mashallah, that is the greatest title, wallahi, that no one else could ever take back or take away from you, mashallah. I remember, mashallah, my elders in Bangladesh. I can remember them. I remember them by name. I remember them by face, mashallah. Because, subhanAllah, I always saw them in the first row of prayer. Man is 80 years old. SubhanAllah, he's there before me in Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Every prayer he's there before me. I can never beat him. He has that corner. You know, SubhanAllah, nowadays in America, we have a weird habit of parking our jainamas. Right? What do we do for Taraweeh? We park our jainamas. right? So you park your prayer mat and you leave it there. And so that way you can go do whatever you want, whatever shopping and everything, fatwa shopping, whatever, and then come back and tarawih, mashallah, you have your spot there. Astaghfirullah. Okay? You can leave something there if you go to the bathroom. And then you have to come back. Not you leave there 5 hours and then someone's supposed to be there. SubhanAllah. What were these people like, mashallah, at least in my humble, a small little masjid in Silat, right? Molvi Bazaar, right? What we found is, subhanAllah, the elders, mashallah, didn't need to park a janamaz. They were themselves are parked. They stayed there from what? Asr all the way to Isha. They would have such a small little iftar, right? You all seen it, mashallah. This is the mashallah, the glow and shine. SubhanAllah, when a person practices deen, alhamdulillah, they come with that fikr because they came. And even mashallah, I'll give you two things for all my beloved youngsters here. Just remember that they made sacrifice to come here and they made lots of dua. They made sacrifice, number one. I can never repay my grandfather. My grandfather, subhanAllah, the amount of visas that he had to apply for and the amount of work that he did, the green cards, like there's a lot of work involved to bring the family, mashallah. I know, alhamdulillah, the Khalifa family, mashallah, was a big effort to bring everyone here, right? SubhanAllah. My grandfather was that for my family. And so, subhanAllah, I seen it, like that one house. I mentioned the stories a lot. My mom, I asked her, I said, I usually tell people we have like over 10 people in the house when everyone was coming, right? The house, it was like, I had my uncles, my chachas, my mamas, everyone was in one house. I said, Mom, I said there was like, 12, 13 people there. She's like, more like 15, 18 people living in that one little small apartment in New York next to the rats and the cockroaches and stuff, right? SubhanAllah. It was tough, right? Allah, make it easy, subhanAllah. The thing is that, subhanAllah, like, someone had to be there to bring them here, right? My grandfather, I couldn't meet him. He passed away 2 or 3 days after I was born. They said, SubhanAllah, they sent the recording of my crying to him, and he made dua. Who knows where that dua landed? Wallahi, you don't know. And the sacrifice, mashallah, every elder has made sacrifice, and you cannot deny that. No matter how frustrating, because everyone who gets older gets a little cranky. Man, you've been in the dunya for so, SubhanAllah, the crankiest people in dunya are two. The elder and the baby. Okay? Why? The baby is upset. He left Allah Azza wa Jal to come to this wretched dunya. And the elder is upset because his stay in dunya has been too long. So you're a little cranky. Right? Everyone's a little upset. You have to mind it. Why would you not mind it? But subhanAllah, I mentioned about Mufti Pampuri Sabti Rahmatullahi. I gave him salam when I was in first year Ula class. And I used to give him salam every day in Ramadan because I was there before everyone. Because mashallah, I used to live with in the madrasa basically at that time. And I used to take care of Hazrat and everything, Mufti Pampuri Sahab, teacher Mufti Ramin Sahab, right? And then mashallah, one day he got so upset that I was giving him salam every day. He said, "How many times are you going to give me salam? Enough." And I was so scared after that, wallahi. I never gave him salam afterwards because I was so scared. But even then, the love for him, rahmatullahi, is so much in my heart. Because I don't even care, because I know he's an elder. He has right to say, what? He's been here for that long. Give him right to say something. You can listen. You can listen, right? You can give him that ear. People, subhanAllah, are so impatient these days. An elder will come and say something. The man has, mashallah, white beard. Mashallah, he's coming. He has a story to tell. I let him talk. 10 minutes, 15, let it go. It's fine. It's a little bit of my life. I made this man happy, mashallah. His dua might be there. The man went through a lot, 60, 70 years. Could you imagine what kind of life a person lived? In America, what stories they have to tell. We sit with Brother Bilal, Hafizahullah, may Allah keep him in afiyah and good health. Brother Bilal, he was with us with the, he was in America back in like, the 60s and 70s, so he accepted Islam at that time when there was a nation of Islam here, right? Where they didn't know what Islam was. This man has stories to tell, You have to sit with these elders and get from the stories. They have sacrifice. My father still, mashallah, he makes sacrifice. I've seen the sacrifice, and I always want you all to appreciate the dua of your parents, because they are the elders that you have to love the most. This, mashallah, Khidr alayhi salam, and the story of Ashabul Kahf, in Surat al-Kahf, I'm sorry, in Surat al-Kahf, him and Musa alayhi salam are traveling. And, Khidr alayhi salam, he fixes a wall, and this story is amazing. There's like a kid that's killed, and like there's like a boat that's broken. It's a crazy story. I don't have enough time to go through it. There's one part of it where he fixes a wall. Musa alayhi salam gets upset and says, "Oh, Khidr, why did you fix the wall? The people didn't even feed us here. They're the worst people ever. They're not like Burlington Masjid. Burlington Masjid, you get a free meal, mashallah. The people are the worst, subhanAllah, And so Musa alayhi salam asked Khidr. Khidr alayhi salam finally explains it to him. He says, "Musa, there were two orphans in the community. And right where the wall is about to fall over, oh Musa, there was a treasure underneath this ground here. And right where the wall is about to fall over, there was a treasure there. Musa, do you know who left the treasure? Their father left the treasure. Wa kana abuhuma saliha. Their father was a righteous man. Allahu Akbar. Because the father was a righteous man, Khidr alayhi salam says, Allah Ta'ala told me to fix the wall so when the kids get older, they'll dig out the treasure and they'll take it out for themselves. So then what did the ulama write? They said that because the father is pious and nek and salih, Ibn Kathir writes it, you can check it. Ibn Kathir said, because the father was righteous and pious, this is dalil and evidence that anyone who is a righteous, good Muslim, Allah will never let their children suffer and starve. Allah will never let you suffer in dunya. Because mashallah, no matter who you are, because your dad was good, mashallah, you'll be fine. This is what happened in Sahaba's time. Sahaba, mashallah, were the most excellent people. That's why you and I are still enjoying today, 1400 years later. This is what it means, mashallah, when you love your elders. They made so much sacrifice to come and to be here, mashallah. And they make such dua for you, could not even imagine. Such dua, you don't know which dua landed. And this is why I'm telling people, subhanAllah, you know, Allahu Akbar, where do you think Burlington Masjid came from? It just popped out of existence, you know, randomly in existence. Allah said, Kun fayakun, and it just popped here. There were people, mashallah, everywhere you're gonna look in America, was this, mashallah, one uncle, one elder, one person of the community that made such fikr and said, you're looking at Lexington, you're gonna look at, you know, Billerica, you're gonna look at Burlington, you're gonna look at ISBCC, you're gonna look at any masjid. I'm telling you, look at any masjid. You're gonna see one elder from the community, someone who said, Muslims need a place to pray. Muslims need a place to pray. And so then he started making dua, and whatever niyyah he made, mashallah, whatever niyyah they made, mashallah ta'ala. You know, I could talk about Medina Masjid, right? Local Masjid Manhattan, and for us, right? Established in the 1970s, right? SubhanAllah. My grandfather was part of them, right? Mashallah. Doesn't know English. Doesn't know English. But subhanAllah, he said that Muslims should have a place to pray here, subhanAllah. The community should have some place to pray, mashallah. So what does he do? He builds a masjid, subhanAllah ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Could you imagine? In the 70s, this is built. How many years has it been? 53 years in the 70s, right? 70s, right? So 50 years. Everyone who's made salah in that masjid, mashallah, gets ajr and reward for. Right? Could you imagine, subhanAllah, someone had the fikr and concern. So this person, mashallah, you know, whoever they are, and that's why I always want you to remember, have some respect and adab with people that came before us. Because they, you know, you and I can't even have this bayan in this masjid. But other than the fact that someone actually had to build the masjid in the first place. People worked for this place, mashallah ta'ala. And people developed this place, mashallah. The du'as of our elders, mashallah, are something we need. People cry about the fact they don't have their mother making du'a for them anymore. People cry about the fact they don't have their mother making du'a for them anymore. Because that du'a, you never know what a person was saved from, what a person was protected from. These du'as go so far. I already told you about the children at Khidr alayhi salam's time, mashallah. They're making du'a, subhanAllah. The du'a, the Prophet alayhi salam, I told you, the other time we had the halaqah, the Prophet used to brag and tell everyone. He used to boast about this with fakhr, you know. He used to say, mashallah, that I am the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. My elder Ibrahim has made dua for me, and mashallah, I came into existence. We don't know which dua is the one, mashallah, keeping us on deen, keeping us on hidayah, keeping us on taqwa. Every elder, mashallah, has sacrifice, and every elder has dua. And so they build a masjid, mashallah. For example, mashallah, I think this has been 25 years, right, since Burlington has been here, mashallah. I think exactly was it. It's been in August. Is it really in August? November, okay. But this is the 25th year, right? MashaAllah, subhanAllah. And so many of the brothers from our community, mashaAllah ta'ala, had worked together to establish this place, right? SubhanAllah, started off in a place, what? 1,000 square feet, Allahu Akbar. Now we're hitting 10,000 square feet, mashaAllah, right? So we have, mashaAllah, many brothers here from late Dr. Taqiyuddin Ahmad, rahmatullahi, Dr. Brother Yusuf Bayat, Brother Harun Gadadia, Brother Munir Gandavia here, mashaAllah, Brother Waleed, mashaAllah ta'ala, Brother Bashir, mashaAllah, Khalifa, Brother Ghulam Khalifa, Brother Shafi Malik, Brother Shahid Sheikh, right, mashallah. All these brothers, mashallah, here. Brother Siddiq Sheikh, Brother Sayyid Hashmi Saab, right, Khatibai's brother, right, mashallah ta'ala. All these brothers, mashallah, work together, subhanAllah. Could you ever imagine, subhanAllah, that we get to such a position now? And the halaqas, mashallah, we have 200, 300 people coming every Friday, mashallah ta'ala. Mashallah, such a beautiful hijj program we have, such a beautiful madrasa that's running in the mornings, mashallah. Who could ever imagine that something could be imagined, established here in Massachusetts for Allah's sake, subhanAllah, the most ajeeb of liberal of all states that we have, one of the first people to affirm gay marriage, Allahu Akbar. At the same time, mashallah, you have a masjid, subhanAllah, that we have a partition separation separating the sisters, mashallah ta'ala. You know, the rabbis and the Jews and stuff, and the priests came in and said, listen, man, we're hardcore feminists. This whole partition stuff is like completely against what we're supposed to do. It's really hard for us to digest the partition here. I said, I'm sorry, sister. It's what the deen teaches us. Whether you like it or not, that's what our culture is. You know, subhanAllah. It's what it is, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, you're able to establish deen and bring deen, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so what my humble request is to the youth here. I'm not going to take any more time. I've already taken too much time for my own health. The thing is that my only request is, mashallah, you have to leave something behind too. Everyone has to leave something before they go. A sadaqah jariyah, mashallah, that you yourself need to think about. that what can I do to further the Muslim community? That before I go, alhamdulillah, people remember me as well. That mashallah, I've been here for this many years of my life, right? I won't be here much longer, who knows, right? And I always, mashallah, with all due respect, I always speak with a lot of respect to my elders, mashallah. I know myself to be younger, but alhamdulillah, Allah that taught us deen and Allah that put us in this position. That's how we speak, mashallah. Or else, why would we ever say anything? Mashallah, I have to think about what I'm leaving behind as well. Because one day I'm going to leave this world. And one day my tombstone, my grave will be there. And you're going to see my name there. And one day it's going to show that I've been in the grave longer than I've been alive in this world. And I should have some sadaqah jariyah for myself. Mashallah, the masjid went from 1,000 to 10,000 square feet, mashallah. Right? Maybe one of you guys can bring it to 100,000 square feet. Inshallah. Inshallah. Allah can do. Allah can do. Inshallah, everyone. What are you all waiting for, subhanAllah? You're waiting for Qiyamah to come or Dajjal or something. I don't know. We have to, mashallah, take the step forward where alhamdulillah, the step was left behind for our elders. We take it one step forward. And my humble last thing, inshallah, just my small little darkhas and request. I mentioned to our elders, mashallah, the elder that practices deen, he shines. Because, mashallah, they are murabbi, right? Murabbi is what we use this word, mashallah, in murabbi, we say in Bangla, right? It's someone, mashallah, that does your tarbiyah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah does Rabbul Alameen. It's a beautiful word that we chose. That someone, subhanAllah, that lived deen, in the experience on deen, mashallah, if they have like 20, 30 years of deen. I remember, mashallah, my wife's grandfather, Rahmatullah Alayh, he's a great mufti sahab. I kid you not, till today, I can still see his prayer before my eyes. Wallahi, such a beautiful sunnah he used to pray. I used to watch his sunnah because it used to look like he was actually worshiping Allah. He used to do the bowing so beautifully, the standing up. You know, I'm so inexperienced in my prayer. I look at this man praying salah and said, subhanAllah, this man has been praying for decades. And I make dua one day I can pray his salah like him, inshallah. I ask all my elders, inshallah, humbly and respectfully, that practice deen fully, inshallah. How beautiful is the elder with the white beard, mashallah. You know, my first year here, one guy came up to me. He was so upset that his dadi was turning a little white. And he said, Sheikh, is it okay if I use the black dye? He's like, I'm not old yet. I started laughing. I just wanna, you know, when old starts in Islam. Yeah, they said Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings the people of Medina used to start preparing for the afterlife at age 40, meaning that they used to leave their work and stuff and start coming to the masjid regularly and praying salah regularly at age 40. This is what they understood to be elder. So I looked at the brother, I was laughing. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had a gray hair, right? The white hair started popping up, and he said, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, ma hada? Ya Allah, what is this? And Allah Ta'ala said, O Ibrahim, hada waqan. This is awesome. And then Ibrahim said, Allahumma zidni waqara. Allah increase me knowledge. I'm just making this so you guys mashallah feel a little younger, okay? Alhamdulillah. You guys are good, mashallah. Don't worry. No one, anyone jack you or hurt you for your beard, mashallah. Look good. Or dye completely red. I don't care. Whatever you want, inshallah. So having said that, mashallah, my humble advice and my request for my elders, mashallah, that when you start representing deen for us, it looks beautiful for us. That you're showing us that you're coming to masjid, you come for Fajr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, you start doing this regularly, alhamdulillah, it shows us, alhamdulillah, that deen shines, mashallah, when we get older. So please, inshallah, try your best for our sake, for the youngster's sake, and for the youth, inshallah, for the future to come. May Allah grant us all tawfiq, inshallah. Make us people that can take the future of this ummah forward, inshallah, ta'ala, and make us people that can respect and love our elders, inshallah, and have love for our juniors, inshallah, ta'ala. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I won't take any much more time, inshallah. I do request, mashallah, our beloved uncle and elder, Dr. Madhudur Rahman Sahab, to come forward, inshallah, to share some things for our senior community. Mashallah, our beloved uncle and elder, he works for Ihsan, which is an effort that Alhamdulillah works to provide senior services. So I would like everyone to listen attentively, inshallah. Again, show some respect and decorum when our elder comes to speak, inshallah. Listen attentively for what you can do and what you can do for yourself, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
Yeah, even, no, I don't want to.
No,
No. Listen,
no.
listen.
Please. Please.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله من أعلى.
15 minutes is enough
10 minutes,
time.
10 minutes, 15 minutes. But so, Alhamdulillah, we are so blessed. We are so blessed, mashallah, Alhamdulillah. Fadlillah. I mean, you cannot imagine how blessed you are and we are being here with an imam and with the company, with the elders. I am 82 years old now. So, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, and Allah knows why He has given me such a long life. I worked with my brothers, all the elders who are here now today, to push forward this masjid. And if I don't have any wisdom, I have some experience for 40 years. So maybe, and you know what, in business, I'm a professor, I was a professor of business administration at the university. So in business, we say this ex wisdom and knowledge distills through experience. So if you have experience, then you can gather wisdom and knowledge. Bismillah. Of course, Allah says always, I give wisdom, I give knowledge. We cannot acquire any knowledge. So, having said so, I want to share my experience. And then I just made some note quickly so that I can finish in 15 minutes. And if I am fast, just brother, I will remind me, go slow or stop. Okay, mashallah. So, our learned Imam Shaqil, today's khutbah, if you had attended our Jumat this today, in his khutbah, he raised two important issues. And my khatara, small lecture, will dwell on those things and I relate to why I'm here from his lecture. Everything he says is full of not only knowledge, not only experience, he has not as much experience I have, but he has wisdom. And that's what really we really benefit from his wisdom. And so from his lecture, and we all know that the environment we live in is not conducive or supportive toward Islamic values. We all understand that. We all know that, but we act very little on that. And this center, with my very beloved, very respected brother Imam Abbasi, he calls me uncle. I see some hope, but we have to follow him. We have to follow an Imam as did Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during the early speech of Islam. Provided you have the right view. Alhamdulillah, out of my experience, I do. Do not be shy on listening what he is saying, following what he's saying, acting on what he's saying. He does not guess. He does not manipulate. He just says based on this hadith, based on Quran, because I try to find it out when I go home. So, but you know, I say that because our environment is not conducive and supportive, but we have guide people. As long as we make effort to sustain, we'll succeed. We believe in that. Allah said, make you effort, I'll give you. So we want to make effort. You know what is happening to all of us, which includes me? Most of us, I say all of us would be kind of too much, right? Conforming. We try to conform with the environment. We go to school and to follow that path. So conforming and compromising. Sometimes we give in. All right, this little bit is okay. Okay, all right, I will say my prayer later on. You see, I don't have time, so I cannot explain. Please pardon me. And complacency, we are happy. I'm good. I don't have to do extra. I don't have to do anything. Oh, I'm elder. I don't have to do anything. This is bad. These are not in the tradition of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the tradition of early Muslims. Conformity, compromising, complacency, three words, remember. Then today, Amar Imam was addressing all the school students. He reminded us of the challenges. So what he said that to us also. So what do we have to do? We have to now invest in them. Invest what? Advice? Invest what? Like do take them to school? There's some more than that. Sometimes you see I'm mixing it up because I'm addressing my elders, brothers and sisters who are here today, mashallah, and we have a lot of good things heard about them. And I may not be included in that good thing, but I'm telling me and us, we have to now put our money where our mouth is. Period. And I'm going to come there. Imam mentioned about the retirement fund, right? Today, if you remember, we put a lot of money in our retirement fund that is called 401k. How many of you know about 401k? Almost all of you. Somebody said, that 401k is for dunya, but there is 401k for akhirah also. What is more sustaining is your 401k for akhirah. That's what I'm going to tell you. So two, there are four types of 401k. One 401k is for dunya investment, who goes up and down, and sometimes people that doesn't want everything goes down the drain, right? But there are two other types of 401k, three other. One is you have to have 401k help. You have to, the seniors, if you like live like a junk car in the garage, that's not what Allah meant you to do. We have to do everything which is in the Quran and in Sunnah, in the Sharia, until our last breath. I cannot give up donating. I cannot give up praying. I cannot give up helping our brothers and sisters work in the mosque. I will do as much I'm physically able, as much as I'm financially able. But I cannot say I'm senior, I'm retired, so I cannot do it. There is no retirement in Islam, neither in Quran nor in Hadith. Our Imam will tell you that there is no word called retirement. So we erase that word retirement from your thinking. We are not retired. As I said, I'm 82 years old, inshallah ta'ala. I work as hard as I was working, but on different things, more in dunya, deen and then in dunya. Alhamdulillah. So you have two 401k about dunya. One is your money, and that is your health. But for 401k for akhirah is you. I said you don't live like a junk car sitting in the garage. That's for my senior brothers and sisters. We all know about Hakkul Ibad and Hakkullah. Our Imam said many times about these things. Now, Hakkullah, we all try to do as much as Hakkul Ibad is more comprehensive. Our substantive environment, the environment we live around us, everything has hak on us. Agreed? Right, ma'am? So if everything has hak on us, the services we receive from anything has hak on us. This masjid, this Islamic center has hak on us. The school we are building here, oh, so kindly, ma'am, thought about it and building, has hak on us, hak on our wealth. So what can I do as a senior? You leave your wealth for your children, all of it. Well, I tell you what, how much of that wealth will be spent for you when you are dead? Zero, because my father left a lot of resources. I said, our siblings, just after they closed their eyes, they sold everything and spent. So you have to create your 401k for Akhirah while you are alive. Beshak. I mean, there is no answer. Please do not remove, because you have to go to Jannah. When death of Akhirah, nothing will come to your assistance, how much money you left in the dunya for your children. But how much money I endow, make an endowment to this masjid, to this school, will stand for me there. That's my 401k for Akira. Remember very closely, carefully, seriously. If you, and this morning or this today, also Imam said about Akira, we don't remember Akira. We live for Akira, we don't live for dunya. This is we have to remember. So there are I counted. If I ask you how many Islamic centers are around us, some will say seven, some will say eight. I counted there are 70 Islamic centers around us within 25-mile radius. Well, we and I building this one, it will be, I think, second or third, because we used to go to Sharon. We built Sharon. There's nothing around here. Now, within this 25 years, there are 70 Islamic centers. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. But then why should I invest my money? There's investment for my akhirah, 401k for akhirah. Now, dunya 401k, we count. I invest in this stock, in that stock, that where it will grow. So, where should I invest my money for akhirah? How will I decide? There are 70 of them there around me. Of course, there are masjid back home. There are masjid all over the world, right? We have to think about which one is sure to sustain, which one will not die. I mean, many of them will die. Allah knows the best. Because the leadership, who were behind this masjid, who were guiding them, their activities now, their plans, the vision they have. Please forgive me by mentioning, I'm taking more time. Please tell, time me out, because I have to tell something about the seniors also. I'm thinking of what I'm saying. So forgive me if I mention, go beyond my limits here. When I come, I think my brothers, those who help us parking, I'll be among the first three or four to come here. I see most of the board members here, rain or shine, out there guiding us, letting us know how to park, not to fight with each other for parking, right? It took time, so much discipline. This tells me this is their qadri hasana for the masjid. This is their, I mean, what do you call, qadri hasana, other one is, this is their sadaqah. And, but I went to another center for prayer. I waited outside for 15 minutes. 5 minutes before khutbah, one person showed up. And then I went in, Imam came 6 minutes after the khutbah time. I have to decide where I want to invest. This is clear, brother. It is your future in Akira. If I'm not satisfied, I'm a business management, I know finance, I know how to invest. Therefore, we invest in growth. We invest in stability. So this masjid, as Imam said, mashallah, from what, 1,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to inshallah would be 100,000. This is growth. This is Imam. This is the board. There is stability. There is growth, and there is profit. Therefore, we. The seniors, many of the seniors, brothers and sisters, have their own 401k, have investment. Please invest. Please create 401k for your akhirah. Create Qarz-e Hasana. Qarz-e Hasana, we give to Allah, not to masjid. Allah said, who wants to give me beautiful loan so that I give you, when you come to me, I'll give you in many folds. So you don't give this Qarz-e Hasana to Masjid or to Imam, you give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that niyyah, I want to make endowment, inshallah, and many of my senior brothers and sisters who have some money to me. You see, you don't have to give money now. You just write on a piece of paper that out of my wealth, 30% goes to the Masjid. Two people sign it, give it to him. It's done. After your death, you are sure that there is a Qarz-e Hasana waiting for you. There is Sadgai Zari waiting for you. It will survive, inshallah ta'ala. So much about what we can do as seniors for this mosque. Now, what Al-Ihsan is doing, because we don't have time, 5 more minutes have to finish, right? Al-Ihsan, because we are doing so many things. We have created one thing is that how many of you know open notes? I have a doctor here sitting somewhere, my doctor brother, right? Open note, medical doctor's note. Nowadays, when you go to open your chart, most of you know the chart, and doctors write the notes in the chart. That is called open note. Please make it a practice, both seniors, juniors, everyone. Doesn't matter. Read your doctor's note before you go to the doctor. If you cannot read it, we, Alasan, can help you. We have doctors with us. I read my wife's doctor notes. I read everything on that file so that when I go to meet the doctor, we have control on our health. We know what is going on. We know where doctors make the mistakes. So Alhassan, we can, if you cannot do it yourself, do not shy away. It is your health. It is your money. You ask us in any language you want to understand, we'll make, inshallah, that language available to you. We'll read your doctor notes. Even blood report you need to read. We have doctors who will read your blood report, explain to you what drug. We can, inshallah, ta'ala, long before your disease comes, blood can tell you that. Our doctors can tell you it is going in this direction. Do not be shy away. For everybody, please open your doctor's note. It's not only seniors, it includes everybody. And even the multitude ones, we can arrange a seminar of how to read your doctor's note. From any hospital, we can do examples and show you. This is the one. Number two is you are not alone. You are not alone. It's higher from Quran also. Said that Allah said, you are not alone. Inshallah, Allah is with us. Allah is with us, and He will send help to you if you only ask Allah and contact Al-Hasan. You are lonely. You want to talk to somebody. You want somebody to visit you. Whether you're elder, you call us. You have that Al-Hasan website, Al-Hasan group, what do you call, WhatsApp group. So you write your name in Al-Hasan WhatsApp group, say, I need help. Or one of our brothers, you told them, contact Al-Hasan. We will make the help available to you. Then, some of during COVID and after COVID, some of the brothers and sisters had food supply problem. Don't shy away. You are our brothers. I am your brother. I can ask him, brother, can you bring food for me? He will bring food for me. Or you can ask me, can you, brother, we'll bring. So do not shy away. Do not suffer. This is not Islamic. We all are for everybody. We all have hope on each other. Therefore, contact Al-Hasan for your food need, for your loneliness, and for your medical need, in terms of reading your medical reports. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. If I make any mistake, that's mine. May Allah forgive me. And if I offended anybody by saying anything, may Allah forgive me. Please forgive me. You also all forgive me and make dua for me and make dua for all of my senior brothers and sisters. And we heard our beloved Imam say so many beautiful things about elderly people. I do not qualify those things, but I love the bro. I forgot one thing. Imam mentioned about the sponsors of this masjid, mashallah, how much we prayed in like open yard. Remember, open yard, there is no prayer hall, we have prayer yard. But I want to mention about Brother Bilal, who passed away in Dubai. So please keep him in mind, pray for him, and contact his children so that if they need any help, we owe a lot to him because he put a lot of initiative to make this happen, inshallah ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على خير خلق محمد اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين السلام عليكم.